Coming up on Tech Thing, new phone, LG's G4 is in the house. So many viewer questions, a camera upgrade, keeping your gear dry, passwords on your phone, some help speeding up OS X, and quite a bit more, all coming up on Tech Thing. If you're loving your weekly dose of Tech Thing, please consider contributing at patreon.com/techthing. We're brought to you by viewers just like you. Thank you so much.
I'm Shannon Morse.
And I'm Patrick Norton.
And this is Tech Thing, where we make technology behave.
At least on the good days.
Was that weird?
No, it wasn't weird. Well, you know what was weird? There was another Windows 10 announcement today.
Another one?
But
wait,
no,
didn't they just do build?
Well, build just happened. Okay, so introducing Windows 10 editions. We do not have an exact date for Windows 10's release, but Microsoft named the editions Home, which is essentially the one most of us will be using. I'm kind
Makes
of excited.
Sense.
Yeah, okay, so Cortana, the Edge browser, face recognition, iris and fingerprint recognition, you know, for your home iris scanner. Xbox gaming on Windows 10, or like Xbox Live. Xbox One owners can play Windows 10 game, or Xbox Live.
They can play games on any Windows 10 machine in the household on the same network?
What she said.
Oh, I like that.
Windows 10 is back to mobile, not phone. And then there's Pro, Enterprise, Education, Mobile Enterprise, and Windows 10 Internet of Things, or the Core Edition.
That seems like a lot of Windows 10, but it sounds like they're going to use the same operating system among all devices, which will make it easier for consumers.
That's the theory.
Hopefully.
Well, you know, it's early, you know. Early notes are good. Windows 7, Windows 8.1, Windows Phone 8.1 devices upgrade in the first year after the launch of Windows 10, get Windows 10 for free.
Ooh.
And I'm still working on getting Windows 10 Internet of Things running on a Raspberry Pi.
Oh.
Well, to get it, you have to have Visual Studio installed.
Right.
And
I like Visual Studio. That's good times.
You know, but I just
Yay
wasn't
code.
Running it on that machine. Yay
yeah.
code.
It's kind of a pain, but you can do it.
Not to change the subject, but Shannon's got LG's latest phone.
I do, yes. So this is the LG G4. Ain't it pretty? Look at that little guy. So it's $649 MSRP, so it's definitely a premium phone, and that's what they're touting it as. However, it's interesting because it's not quite available on U.S. markets yet. It's supposed to be available at the end of the month, so we don't have exact contract prices yet.
Okay.
But hopefully we'll see that soon. AT&T is saying that it'll be free, but I don't know. We'll see. It might be like $200 like normal ones.
I actually love the back on this, that like quilted back.
Yeah. Nice little diamond type cover on it. I really like that. It's very smooth and it doesn't pick up a whole bunch of fingerprints on it. You can kind of see it when I move it around. Oh, look how pretty it is.
It's so
and it's
pretty.
Removable too. I'll get back to that in a second.
Big honking camera.
Big camera. Yeah, that's got to be my favorite part of this. It's got a really good camera. It's a 16 megapixel on the rear and then 8 megapixels on the front. So kind of interesting that they boosted up the front camera and they're totally touting like, oh, this is great for selfies. Oh, you can take all the selfies. Look at all the selfies that you can take.
So, 8 megapixel selfies.
Yeah. I actually took some pictures on my computer. Let me see if I can bring these up for you. Here you go. Okay, so this is in a dark room, and I'll just make this full screen for you. So this is in a very dark room. It still brings out the orange really well on our ThreatWire backdrop. This is the telephone thing on the Hack 5 studio wall, but it brings out a little bit of yellow whenever you're looking at the picture itself. So it's supposed to be a white thing, but
is this LG's app or the photo, any of the other photo apps? Or
it's the actual LG application in here. So I didn't make any changes. This is just default auto that they have.
Okay.
This is their selfie camera. You notice that it destroys all my freckles. Nothing left. It's just like, oh, let's go to the mall and take
pictures. It's running a, quote, beauty filter, unquote.
Beauty filter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? If you're running...
Not
Lollipop.
Crazy vibrant.
Like, if you're running Lollipop, just immediately install any of the Fantabulous
pretty much
photo software camera apps.
I took a bunch of pictures outside. I noticed that the colors on it were, they were more natural than what I was seeing with my Note 4, which gives me much more vibrant colors. So the Note 4 is great for, like, HDR and stuff like this. This is much better for natural colors. So it's not going to make any, like, the orange in this cat picture pop, or the picture of my little plant right here. It doesn't make it look crazy, crazy green. It's a very normal color for the plant itself. So that was pretty cool. It also takes RAW as well as JPEG.
Yeah.
Awesome!
Well, that's part of the Lollipop thing.
That's
is Lollipop's
so cool.
Finally giving access to the sensors in a way that Android was refusing to do previously.
I have to show you this too.
5-inch display? Would you call it a phablet, or is it just under a phablet size?
Oh man, can I show you one more thing about the camera? It's really exciting, so check this out. Let me show you this manual mode. So this is really cool. You can change white balance, you can change the ISO, you can change other things such as the shutter speed, so I can make it really bright for, I believe that's called aperture. I'm not very good with manual camera settings, but it's all
HD.
Worth it to the software.
You gotta check out HD Camera Ultra, like if you wanna really start nerding out on
it. I was kind of nerding out because I've never gotten to do that with a smartphone before, mm-hmm. so this is the first time I've ever gotten to test that. And the manual modes on mm-hmm. here are very, very good. So I was pretty impressed with it. Not as good as the DSLR, never will be, but very good for software settings as far as manual goes. The display on here is pretty sweet. It's 5.5-inch IPS quantum display. It's 2560 by 1440 pixels, and it's 538 pixels per inch, which is on the high end, definitely. It's very comparable to my Note 4. It's comparable. It's better than the iPhone 6, which is pretty cool. And it's very easy to see in bright sunlight, too. I even brought it outside, and your son was like, oh, it's bright. So that was cool.
It's a good thing.
500 nits, I believe they're saying.
That's pretty bright.
Yes, it is. It's, I believe, one of the brightest on the market at the moment.
Be interesting to see what battery life is, with, you know, outside running at 500 nits.
Yeah, I don't know if the battery life would last that long. It's a 3,000 mAh battery that you can remove in the back. It's a lithium ion, of course. So yay, you can remove it, which is great. But I wasn't wowed by the battery life. It's about 10 hours max from testing by a bunch of different places that have done long hours of extended testing with it.
Right.
Another nice thing about it, though, is you can change out the micro SD card on here. So you can add additional storage, so you're not stuck with just 32 gigs inside of it. Mm-hmm. But you can add up to 2 terabytes. Yeah, I know.
2 terabyte micro SD cards don't exist.
Huh?
Well, okay, I'll be curious to see. Well,
does 2 terabytes actually work? That's my question. 3 gigs of RAM, though, so that's comparable also to my Note 4.
I'm trying to think if I've even seen a 512 megabyte.
I think SanDisk came out with one, or they announced that they were going to be making a 2 terabyte micro SD card. So that might be what they are planning to use with this guy, which is pretty exciting, I gotta say.
That is pretty.
Right? It's cool.
It's cool. Oh, yeah, 512 gigabyte. Oh, no, that's an SD card. That's not a micro SD card.
Yeah, you want to find the 2 terabyte.
No.
Somebody
you
made
keep
an
talking.
Announcement
I'll
recently.
Look for okay. ridiculous micro
so,
SD cards.
So, of course, you're probably wondering about the CPU, too, because that matters a lot in these. You don't want your phone to lag, and I've had some issues with that on my Note 4, especially after upgrading to Lollipop. This one has a Qualcomm 808 processor, so it's integrated. It's 1.8 gigahertz. It's 64-bit hexa-core CPU. Now, that is a step down from their LG G3, which was an 810 processor, but they're saying that this one is maximized to best work with the LG G4. So we'll see how that goes with long range testing with people who are, you know, putting in all the apps and they're taking all the photos to see if it actually keeps up with everything. I did some testing as far as like speeds with the Wi-Fi on this one, comparing again to my Note 4. This one did 3.987 seconds to load hack5.org. So very good example with no other browser information loaded up in there. And on my Note 4, it was double that. It was 6.167 seconds. Yeah, big difference there. And then it's 4G LTE, comes with Bluetooth, Wi-Fi all the way up to AC, so you get all those extra perks, and NFC as well. So that's really nice. The look and feel of it, it doesn't look premium because it is a little plasticky. I would prefer the leather option. They do have a leather option for this.
Leather back.
Yeah, a leather back so that you can place onto it. So I would probably buy the leather back instead. And it does have a slight curve. So when I set it down, I noticed that the screen on it is just slightly curved along the edge. So it's very similar to their Flex devices, but it's not curved as much. So you can barely see. It's not really noticeable, but you know, look close and you can. Things that I miss, though, there is no fingerprint scanner like there is on the iPhones and like there is on the Samsung mm-hmm. phones. There's no wireless charging without some kind of special case or a sticker or something like that. And LG plans to add quick charging, but we don't have that yet. And the back is really, really tough to remove, and it totally ruined my manicure, so I was a little upset about that.
You could have used a tool to remove the back.
Well, you know what? When I don't have a tool, I just expect to be able to pry it open.
Woman needs a spudger in her purse.
So all in all, it's a good phone. It's missing a couple of those cool features that I've gotten really used to, especially the fingerprint scanner. That's a big one for me, and I really wish they built wireless charging in. I don't want to have to buy additional accessories for that kind of thing. I feel like it should be included in this day and age.
I can wait for wireless charging.
Yeah, it's fun.
So the world's highest capacity micro SD card is apparently SanDisk's Ultra Micro SDXC at 200 gigabytes.
Oh.
The most commonly available one I've seen is 128 gigabytes.
Cool.
And it's kind of crazy. Those are selling for, here's a Lexar one for $91.
Oh my goodness.
there's the SanDisk Ultra one, 120 gigabyte micro SD cards are $90.
So maybe they're just future-proofing it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, because the controller on the device determines how big of a micro SD card it'll work with.
Yeah. So as long as they have that additional capacity available to them in the future,
as long as it
should work.
If the spec doesn't change,
so we will see.
And the river doesn't rise. Got something to say about the new LG phone or anything else? Do us a favor. Post on Facebook.com/techthing. And if you like what we're doing, just give us a like.
Yeah. Thumbs up.
What's going on over at Hack 5, Darren?
This week on Hack 5, we are configuring web servers with SSL properly. We're talking about security concerns with WebRTC. And have you ever wanted to download MP3 files off of YouTube? We'll show you how.
It is now time for Rapid Fire Round, and this is where we're going to answer three of your different questions as quick as we can, because we have a slew of them. Are you ready?
Did you just say slew?
I said slew.
I'm ready now.
Our first one comes from Philip. Philip's 2011 MacBook Pro is starting to run a little slow. He wrote, ask@techthing.com. I am thinking about either maxing out the RAM to 8 gigs or replacing the hard drive with a solid state drive. Which upgrade do you think will give me the most bang for my buck?
Oh, man. I'd start with the SSD. It'll speed up boot times, opening apps, audio projects, all that kind of good stuff. But first, take a look at OS X's Activity Monitor. Kind of like Windows Task Manager, Resource Monitor, it gives you real-time data on what's going on with your CPU, your memory, your netbook, and hey, your network, not netbook. So if you take a look down at the screen right now, like the memory pane gives you information about what's going on with memory use in OS X. What's really cool down here, what they call memory pressure, look for yellow and red. And if you have a bunch of red, that means basically you are out of memory, or excuse me, in OS X, memory resources are depleted, and OS X is now accessing your startup drive for memory. It's basically, at that point, you can either quit a bunch of applications or install more RAM. This is the most important indicator that your Mac may need more RAM. That's a direct quote from Apple. It's pretty obvious. It's very similar to Windows resources. So seriously, go now before you start buying anything. After you've got your computer running in the normal way, and if you see a whole bunch of red down there in that memory pressure monitor, max the memory out. Though, frankly, I gotta say, I've yet to run an OS X system where I didn't want at least 8 gigabytes of RAM. OS X loves more RAM. More RAM. You know, just go ahead and upgrade the SSD and the 8 gigabytes of RAM.
We like the RAMs.
We like the RAMs.
And our second question is from Mike, who posted on Facebook. You stated that Microsoft wants Windows 10 on every device. Does that include mini laptops with ARM processors running Wince? If so, then I can finally use the $20 one I bought off of eBay, because damn near nothing runs on Wince.
Wince. What a pun. Microsoft doesn't care about getting your old Windows CE hardware running. They've actually walked away from last year's Windows RT hardware, too, which is 6 or 7 years newer. You could try downloading one of the versions of CE that are still available from Microsoft, but by like 6 or 7, they were for embedded devices, not really for stuff with screens. Personally, I'd give the CE device to my son to take apart and get to see all the shiny stuff inside, and I'd buy an Arduino or a Raspberry Pi to hack around with. And unless you actually have a reason to buy it, don't buy a Windows CE device off eBay right now. I mean, just stop. I'm just saying.
And Brian emails ask@techthing.com. Back on TechZilla, you mentioned a recommendation for some heavy-duty reusable desiccant packs. I like the idea of throwing a metal desiccant pack into every toolbox I own. What do you suggest?
Well, first...
Desiccant.
Desiccant, that's a hard word. I hated saying that when I had the braces in. Make sure you don't have any mad water or humidity issues where you store your tools, which includes having like a big steel toolbox in a garage that gets up to 100 degrees during the day and then drops down to like 60 at night. That's a whole different problem.
Oh, man.
Well, there was carpet in the bottom of the toolbox on my truck where water was leaking in, so the water would soak into the carpet, then take weeks to dry out tools. So bringing it back to the whole Deskin thing, what you're looking for is things like this. This is a 40-gram silica gel container. They come in aluminum containers. They also come in stainless containers. This is a 750-milligram container. The little mica window on the top lets you see the pellets inside. They're usually blue or orange, and when they change color, it's time to recharge them. And to recharge them is really easy. Just throw it in an oven for 3 hours at 325 or whatever it says on the container. Because usually, like especially with the little aluminum ones, you know, reactivate 3 hours at 300 degrees Fahrenheit. And then the pellets will change back to their dry color, and then you stick it back in the container and you're good to go. I use these for, in boxes of electronics that I want to keep safe, in ammunition cases, in ammo boxes, in my rifle, what do we call that thing?
Safe. So pretty much everywhere want stuff to rust.
Hydrosorbent is a common brand. Look for dry packs or lockdown silica gel on Amazon.
Okay.
And you have to remember to check it regularly. Once it's full, i.e. the little pellets have changed color, it's not absorbing moisture anymore,
right,
and it's not doing you any good.
So just put it on your calendar.
Yes. And I would start rather than checking monthly, start by checking every week or two.
Oh, yeah.
You know, with sealed containers, it's not a big deal unless it's something that's already dry. Like if you have one of these, they sell these in like little sealed packets. Mm-hmm. Like one of these and a Ziploc bag is a great emergency kit for your cell phone or your camera if you drop it in the lake.
That's a good point.
Then you can grab this.
Or the toilet.
Yeah, put the silica gel canister and the phone in the, yes you have, in the Ziploc bag and wait for it to dry. After you power it down or take the battery out.
Are you guys looking for an answer? You can always tweet at TechThing, and we'll do our best to answer it for you guys.
Because we love you. If you're a fan of TechThing, make sure you get every episode. Subscribe at TechThing.com on iTunes or YouTube.com/TechThing. That makes sure you get each and every episode. And if you want to take it to the next level, consider contributing to the show at Patreon.com/TechThing. You can donate however much you want per episode. Every little bit counts to help keep us, well, employed and keeping the show to you each and every week. If you can't donate, that is okay. Please take the time to send us questions, tips, and to share the show with your friends and family. Give our videos the thumbs up on YouTube, like our Facebook page. A little positive review on iTunes or anywhere else is a huge help to getting the word out and keeping the show growing and coming to you each and every week. Thank you so much for supporting the show, no matter how you do it. Time for the HostGator.com Disruptive Tech of the Week. With Maker Faire coming this weekend, Shannon's going to drop a report on next week's show. We thought the perfect disruptive tech would be Chip from Next Thing. You thought the Raspberry Pi was cheap? This is a $9 PC built by a crew in Oakland, California, the town right next to mine. And if that name sounds familiar, nextthing.co, if you go to nextthing.co, if Next Thing sounds familiar, you probably saw me talking about the Otto, which was the hackable animated GIF camera powered by the Raspberry Pi compute module. Back from, oh goodness, a year ago?
I don't know. It's been a while.
There's a three-year-old in my life. Everything's kind of a haze at this point. It's kind of funny. That particular Kickstarter for the Otto camera brought the Next Thing crew 414 backers, like 70 grand. They're shipping Ottos out now. I think they started back in December. The things have blown up a little bit more for the chip, the $9 computer. They have 24 days to go, well over $1 million in backers. I think they learned a lot from their experience developing hardware on the Raspberry Pi platform. Because, in some ways you can be like, yeah, okay, sounds like a Raspberry Pi. But they wanted something more powerful that's still Linux-friendly with more built-in features. And it's pretty cool. Chip is really tiny. It's a smaller module, which is kind of a big deal.
Wow.
1 gigahertz processor, 512 megabytes of RAM, 4 gigabytes of storage, and Wi-Fi and Bluetooth 4.0 are built in. So unlike the Raspberry Pi,
you don't have to get additional accessories for it.
You don't have
modules.
USB ports for that. Looks like it's Debian Linux is the operating system it's built in. It runs Chromium, LibreOffice. Like if you scroll down, it's a pretty good Kickstarter page. Chip surfs. Chip does serious work. They're editing spreadsheets. I think it's going to be, big shot of productivity on the Kickstarter page. The thing I thought was really, really cool is the fact that they've got a battery circuit built into it.
That's cool.
Yeah, so if you attach like a 2.7 volt lithium ion battery, there's no dealing with building a power circuit or dealing with an external power supply. I think it's really, really cool. Chip has 23 days to go. As like I said, is already over $1 million pledged.
That's crazy.
It's pretty amazing. The first 1,000 are going to go for kernel hackers. Let me see if I can find the really cool picture of the kernel hacker page. Of course I can't find it because I'm on a web page and it scrolls and apparently it's really hard. Kernel, $150, you get the alpha module.
Oh.
So you can basically start hacking the kernel. Then you'll get 5 chips plus the pocket chip. That's for $150. That's pretty awesome. That's going to ship in September.
Ooh.
And that's the $150 kernel hackerless level. And then the first round of the $9 devices are shipping in December. And then the bulk of them are going to start shipping in like late December, January. The pocket chip's really kind of crazy. That's that thing I showed you before. I should have done screen caps.
We've got a little while to wait until we see this.
Yeah, this one isn't going to show this in the battery version.
Oh, it's so cute. Yeah. It looks like my first somewhat smartphone.
It's so 80s looking. It's so 80s looking, but it's kind of crazy.
So it's got a keyboard,
a touchscreen, it's cool. A case, it's a keyboard, and there's like a 3,000 milliamp hour battery on there.
That's cool.
There's composite video out built into the chip, so there's not a ton, you know, if you want to do HDMI or VGA, you're going to have to buy the adapters. If you pre-order with adapters, those come in like, you know, May, I think. Can you build a business around chip or anything else you see at Maker Faire? I know it's been done. Check this out, c4labs.net. This is one of the Raspberry Pi cases. They were inspired to start their company after seeing some of the technology that was showing
up. That's cool.
Some of the making technology that showed up at Maker Faire. If you do start a company, I'd appreciate it if you'd host your website on our sponsor, HostGator.com. Use the coupon code TECHTHING to get 30% off any new hosting package. You'll help support the show, and you'll get great service from a company that's helping to bring TECHTHING to you.
This Yay! Is That's like, awesome.
Yeah, the chip. I'm pre-ordering several chips.
I need more cases for my Raspberry Pis, all seven of them.
Well, if you're wondering how they're making it so cheap, they're basically using kind of a commodity processor, and they are trying to, basically, the more they order, the cheaper the price they get.
That makes sense. Manufacturing. So, yay, good times.
Good times. Oh, look, it's the all-winter PDF.
Ooh.
Oh, pin assignments, logical characteristics. This is exciting stuff. Oh, NAND controller signal description. I'm in.
We're back with a bunch of questions, and I'm excited about this one.
Alex writes in, I've been looking into LastPass since your video, and I was wondering how it handles phone apps. I've seen YouTube videos for browsers, but nothing for apps. Example, I use both my bank's website when on a computer and their mobile app on my phone. I'm assuming it can't post your credentials directly into the app, but I wanted to double check with you guys. Love the show. Thanks, Alex.
Totally get why you would ask that question, because why would you want something copying your info over into an app? But you can do that with LastPass. Woohoo! So LastPass Premium has an app that will fill in passwords for your applications if you want it to. I've used it to fill in applications even with PayPal on my phone. Right. So I just swipe to unlock because I have it set to unlock whenever I swipe my fingerprint. You can also set it to unlock for a PIN code or a password. Once you do that, LastPass will show a little box and you can choose PayPal, and then it'll fill in your information into the application work for you. It works really smoothly every time I've used it, and I've never had a problem.
There you have it.
Love it. And Stan has a few comments about Patrick's Apple Watch review. He emailed ask@techthing.com. You obviously need to spend more time with learning about the watch. Leo too. One thing at home or in any Wi-Fi environment, it works on Wi-Fi. In other words, my phone can be on the charging stand in the living room and the Apple Watch works as normal in the bedroom. That's kind of a big deal for normal users like me. Battery on my 42 is outstanding, 34 to 35 hours and still have 20 to 30%. I charge it about an hour and a half while watching TV in the evening, and I'm good to go until the following evening. And that was from Stan.
I gotta say, over 30 hours and 20 to 30% left on the battery. I wanna know what apps you're using, Stan. And if I missed an email response, I apologize. You know, because if you're just telling time, I'll do that. But as soon as you start using things, the battery starts dropping. I was down to about 30% by the end of most days, or have been consistently. And again, it may be asking too much, but if I fall asleep without putting it on the charger, it's pretty much dead or next to it by the next morning. And that also may be because I'm doing a lot of dictation with it. I'm talking to Siri.
Yeah.
I'm constantly checking apps. I'm playing around with reading my.
So you may just happen to use it a lot more than Stan does.
Yeah, and that's a legitimate thing, right? Because
yeah.
I know some people are like, well, you know, I charge my laptop every other day. I'm like, but you don't really do anything on your
mm-hmm.
laptop.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I do love the speed at which the Apple Watch recharges, and the dictation on the watch. I got to say, it's really, really amazing. When I can speak at a watch and it writes down what I say, that kind of blows my mind. I do, though, Stan, need to correct a little misconception you have about Wi-Fi on the Apple Watch. It connects to your phone over Wi-Fi if the phone is out of Bluetooth range and they're both on the network. As far as I know, it has no direct connection to Wi-Fi other than it goes through the Wi-Fi to get to your phone. It's not going through the Wi-Fi to connect to stuff on the internet. And that's part of my issue with Wi-Fi on the Apple Watch. There's no access to it from third-party apps. You can't configure it on the fly when you travel and stuff. It's something I think would make it more useful, especially for like calendar or weather updates, so I wouldn't have to, you know, have the phone within range to use it. Again, I might be asking too much, but I think it might make some data load a lot faster, at least when I'm at home, like weather info or maps. And I'm really hoping Mossberg is right. Mr. Mossberg wrote up on Recode. Apparently, Apple has plans to issue a software developer's kit that will allow third-party apps to be written directly for the watch
Ooh.
Instead of as kind of what they call slices of iPhone apps. That's how Apple's own core watch apps like fitness and texting are written.
That's cool.
You know, Mr. Mossberg thinks it might happen as soon as the Apple Developers Conference next month. I think that would make a huge improvement in the apps. I mean, you know, it's a beautiful watch. You know, I'm using it as much as I can. I really want to see the applications taken to the next level. And of course, the
Me
developers
too.
Haven't had hardware. There hasn't been a proper dev kit. They're basically doing things that slice off information from the apps and dumping them on the phone. I want to love it. I do, Stan.
I'm glad you want to love it. I'm looking forward to like hearing what you have to say about it after like 2 or 3 months of using it.
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to be
so I'm going to force you to wear that for 2 to 3 months.
I'm going to have to get another band because this bright blue band's freaking me out.
I've finished my gaming build.
Speaking of things you want to love.
So excited. So here's what I priced out. I have an Intel Core i5 because the i7 is too expensive for basically the same quality, if not just a bit faster. Cooler Master CPU cooler, ATX motherboard from Asus, Corsair Vengeance memory. I got 16 gigs of that, so I have 2 8-gig sticks. I love Corsair Vengeance, so that's my top choice. I wasn't going to change that no matter what nobody said. Samsung Evo Series 2.5 inch solid state drive, and that's a 250 gig, and that's just going to be for like video games and for my operating system, and that's about it. And then a Western Digital 4 terabyte, 7200 RPM internal hard drive. I've never used a 4 terabyte hard drive, so this we'll see how this goes.
It's going to be awesome.
But it was recommended by Patrick, so I have to take his recommendation.
No, you don't.
I had a lot of people write in and actually tell me that the Asus GeForce GTX 970 4 gig Strix video card is the best choice, and it would give me about the same competitiveness with my video gaming, and it would give me the same awesomeness as the other video card that I had in here earlier, which was an EVGA 970 GTX. So I decided to go with this one. Yes, but quieter. So I decided to go with this one, and if you guys are wrong, I'm going to just come out there and find you.
Or just
because I'm spending a lot of money on this. Corsair Graphite ATX tower case. I'm going to go by Fry's Electronics this weekend and see if I can find something that I like more, but that's what I like right now. And then a Corsair 650-watt 80-plus gold-certified ATX power supply, which was also recommended by somebody who emailed in. Lastly, a DVD writer, because, you know, I like to write DVDs.
You need a Blu-ray reader.
For my mom. I got, well, yeah, it's a Blu-ray, DVD,
Blu-rays
CD.
For my mom. Write DVDs for mom. So, you're ordering the parts now, build the next 2 weeks.
I got most of them ordered, so yeah, hopefully everything will come in next week. If not, we'll build it the week after that. I'm so excited.
We'll build it minus the part that's missing.
I'm so excited.
She was drooling on her keyboard yesterday.
Slightly.
It
was very messy because I had just eaten chocolate.
I have no idea how to respond to that, so I'm going to go straight to please don't say my name on the show. They emailed askatechthing.com, longtime fan, screensaver, Texilla, no social life, etc. I feel ya. How about switching up the reminder at sign off every now and again to remind folks to help non-geek friends update their software? I help some folks out with some tech support on occasion, and I'm always amazed to see how many aren't regularly performing vital updates. Many of them bank online, make purchases, etc. Just a thought, sign, please don't say my name on the show. Yes. Look, turn on automatic updates, especially on Windows or any other operating system. Your antivirus, it was singing, so Shannon hit it. It is critical. Make sure your AV, your antivirus software, your anti-malware software is automatically updating. Make sure Windows especially, whatever your operating system is updating.
Yeah, luckily you can usually just set all that stuff from inside the software for your antivirus and for your operating system as well. You can just choose under the settings to do auto updates anytime they send out an actual real update, especially if you're running Windows. We should do a whole roundup of episode of software updates to keep your computer running swell so you don't have to build a new one like I am.
You're still going to need to build a new computer at some point, especially if you're a gamer. I'm just saying.
Like me.
And then Shannon didn't leave the house for a month. Because she was playing
Skyrim!
Shannon and
It's my favorite. I love the dragons. I love to shoot things with my archery bow and arrow.
See, now you can get HBO Now. And you can watch HBO.
Man.
You can
watch
Game of Thrones and play Skyrim.
Everybody's going to be like, where did Shannon go? She's supposed to be in the studio.
Look
anyway,
for Mother
remember.
Of Dragons in the chat room.
Mother of Dragons. Hot Daenerys. Wow. So once in a while, put down that phone. Step away from the screen. Don't keep watching HBO Now and playing video games like I do. Close that laptop. Do something analog. Like go camping. Like we did this weekend.
I see camping pictures.
It was so much fun. Do you see camping pictures?
Oh, yeah. I see camping pictures.
Yeah.
Is that a maple?
That was a maple on the beach. I don't know what it was doing there, but it was on the beach.
It's Northern California.
We danced around it.
You danced around a maple.
We danced around a maple. I know we didn't do it right, but that's okay.
Snugs and ears.
It was very fun. I made s'mores and I built a fire. Not really, but, you know, close enough.
Where is it? Hey, we want to give a shout out especially to Sarah, who normally is running the Hack Shop, which you should go check out if you haven't lately. But right there is on a beach holding a rock.
And a beer.
And a beer.
It's a pancake rock.
It's a pancake rock.
Sarah
Thank you, switched Sarah. The show for us today. Thank you so much, Sarah.
All right. I'm Shannon Morse.
I'm Patrick Norton. We'll see you next week on Tech Thing.
Bye. That was a fun show. I want to go camping again now.
Yes.
Watch me lift them.
There we go.
Look at all the names. It kind of reminds me of that level in Mario where you have to hop onto the little levers as they play upwards. And if you leave the screen, you die. You just die.
Never seen that one.
It's really fun. It's like Mario.
Yeah.
I know.
There was no Nintendo 64 in my life. You have to see the arcade in Alameda. Like with all the vintage and some of the new games. When you thought the pinball museum was cool enough, they started a collection of vintage arcade games right there on Park Street. And then the dolphin exploded.